everybody. You are listening to the Accelerate Performance Lab podcast, hosted by Accelerate Head Performance Coach, Ben Tillis. You are about to hear strategies that have helped produce many elite middle distance and distance runners over the last 15 years. He shares why running success doesn't have to be hard. You just have to know a few key tools. From workout strategies to important info on sleep and nutrition, you are guaranteed to learn something that will help you in your running journey. Be prepared to get faster, stronger, and better in your racing and training. So, as always, sit back, buckle up, enjoy the ride. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Accelerate Performance Lab podcast. I'm your host, Ben Tillis, and I've got a special guest today. We do a lot of athlete episodes, but I'm kind of excited for this one because I get to have a chance to sit down with a coach who's come in several times to the facility and brought multiple athletes, and she's done quite well before she even came in, but she is always looking for ways to get better. This is Kelly Grothas. Did I say it right, Kelly?
You did.
I got it. All right. I was going to get it. But and she's a three-time state coach of the year, I believe, with those titles as well. Would that be right?
Yes.
And so she won back-to-back-to-back, very rare combo, very rarely done in Iowa history with the Madrid boys team, just about 45 minutes north of the metro or so, a 1A school. And in a school that size, you don't always have such large groups to be able to do back to back to backs like that. You got to pin together lots of small groups of kids. She also had state champion Sean McDermott a few years ago. And as well as she believed about nine, I think she thought, podium place winners there over the last 5 years. So easily one of the best coaches in Iowa. Kelly, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Ben. I'm doing great.
Well, we just saw each other the other day because you brought in Ethan Lautzenheiser. Did I get it?
You got that one too. Yes.
I'm doing the best I can here. So, but you brought in Ethan, who's a sophomore that's going to be like tearing it up on the scene as he goes, as he continues to develop. But, and just about a month ago or 2-3 weeks, you brought in Clay Worson because he was doing a class project. I think he's doing a science fair type project based on some data and things. So we had fun doing that, and him and Ethan run very similar times. But we noticed they come from very different places, didn't we? That was kind of fun to see how their data is different. And that was kind of what we're going to talk about today a little bit. But before we kind of get up to where, what brought you to like coming to Accelerate with kids from your program and things, tell us a little bit about what got you started in Madrid and what kind of, before you even met us, you guys were very dominant as a program. What got you to that place? Because I think that'll set up what brought you to us as well.
Sure. Yeah. I've been in Madrid for 17 years with my family. We moved here for a job teaching and coaching at the school. It's near a lot of our extended family. We liked the small town community, but also the proximity to Ames and Des Moines for work options for my husband. At that time, 2005, I was teaching Spanish and coaching the high school girls track team. An opportunity came up for cross country, so I've been doing that, I believe, for 12 years, and have since stepped back from cross country as our family grew. We just needed a little more time at home. I'll be in a season of coaching junior high girls track this spring, though, so we'll see how that goes. That's just
we'll
how small schools work. Everybody's
that's
got
right.
a kitchen, and they needed
right.
a coach. I'll have my own children on the junior high team, so it'll
there
be fun. We'll all just be at the track together. And yeah, stepped into cross country, and we were very small. I think we had 7 boys, 7 girls, just enough to field a team, 1 junior high runner on each side. And it really was kind of a small, very close-knit family. I would start with the fastest kid every practice, run a mile or so, and just back off and have some time to run with everybody. And once we turned around, I'd catch back up and at the end finish with the fastest one. So everybody got a little bit of coach attention every practice. And the team just grew. We were joined with Woodward Granger, who we called our river rivals. They're the next school district over. We had
yep.
a combined team, and it was really great to see the dynamics between the kids. You know, we could be rivals, but still be teammates. And that they got along great at practice and at meets, and we all worked towards the same thing. Once they were big enough to have their own team, they did. We went back from 3A back down to 1A. And I really do think that seeing all that 3A competition was really a benefit to us, to the athletes we had at the time. Yeah. We got to see just bigger meets. We were at bigger meets with teams that didn't have, you know, that seven people on the team like we were used to, but had 20 right. or 40 boys and right. girls on their teams. Yeah. So we just got to see totally different competition, and it was a good thing for the kids. And then at the right moment, we split and we had the talent coming up that was able to step into 1A and step onto the podium. I mean, literally, we had a couple seasons where we struggled still. I think before we really got good, we placed 10th in the district. Then the next year, third in the state, and then first. So I really can't attribute that to anything more than the kids' hard work. We've got some talented athletes that came up, but primarily hard workers. They're kids who weren't phenomenal in junior high, but they set goals. They were very focused on their summer training, on being in the weight room, but also on each other and realizing that they were accountable to each other. They were friends. They were more than that. They were teammates and set goals. One of them, freshman year, said, "Let's win the next three state titles." And the rest said, "Okay." So we did with a core group of kids, but with, as you said, just picking up a couple other kids throughout, you know, one in this grade, one in the next grade. And yeah. It just kind of has become contagious, and that work ethic, whether you're running a 16-minute 5K or a 28-minute 5K, they're working hard and know that that's expected from our boys, from our girls, from our high school, from our junior high. And it's really nice to see. So yeah, as you said, we have two athletes left from that state championship team. They also went on and won state track titles, boys and girls, last year. So they've got a lot of success behind them, but two of those kids are left on our team, and we brought them in to accelerate just to build on that. You know, they're the start of the next generation, and we want to make sure we can give them just every benefit that we can give them. There are things that can't get done at practice, especially in a small school when you've got the running the gamut of 7th through 12th grade boys and girls. There's a lot that needs to happen at practice for everybody. So it's good to be able to take a couple hours out and just focus on those top athletes and their needs, because really that helps the rest of the team too.
Right. Well, I mean, like I said, you guys were already rocking and rolling as we were kind of getting going. You know, your third one was happening. You know, your third title in cross was happening as we were getting, you know, the program Accelerate kind of up and off the ground. But you connected. I think there was a podcast I did with Jay. We were trying to like go back and remember how we exactly first connected. But right out of the gate, one of the things we knew with Accelerate was that it was going to be something that could be sometimes challenging for a coach, you know, if an athlete wanted to come, you know, or whatever. Whenever you start something like what we're doing, you know, you're going to at first attract kids that are very into it, right? So your initial wave is going to be your Clay Peels and those guys, you know, whatever that like you had that are very into it and whatever. And they're always looking for something, but you've got them adapted to your team. And so there can certainly be a little bit of like, oh, is this other thing that has a strong person in their coaching and other aspects to it? Could it disrupt the flow or anything like that? But when you and I first talked, we talked right away about, hey, what if you came down, right? What if you came down and checked it out, see what happens and look at the data together? And I don't think from that point there was ever anything that really, you know, I've never had, you know, any situation with it right away worked into, okay, you're going to do this. You're going to come and see it. We're going to run the data. I'm going to explain it. We're going to talk our way through it. And let's see what the kids have. And I think what you realize right away is, oh my gosh, they do have very different data or whatever. Okay, I already know how to raise this or raise that. You want to talk about that a little bit of how it was, maybe what you expected versus what it was when you arrived, and then maybe how you kind of took it from there after that first group?
Yeah, definitely. I think when we first came down, maybe it was after the senior all-star meet in 2020, yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Which you sponsored that one, right?
Well, yeah, because it was the senior all-star meet would have been ITC normally, and yes. They couldn't put it on because of because of COVID. And so we tried to, you know, a chance to do something. So yeah, it was like the Accelerate Iowa Showdown or something.
Right, and right. Now, I remember hearing the phrase Accelerate and knowing you existed and then really just looking into it more and taking one of our athletes down not long after that. And it was after his senior cross country season. It was purely just his interest. He wanted to run in college. You know, what's next for me? How can I understand myself better? And I wanted to go with him. I mean, committed to helping him continue to get better and do whatever I can for him, even after he's graduated, because he's done so much for our program as a runner.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was amazing to just see the data and make sense of why he ran the way he ran. And I remember you looking at it and saying, there's really no explanation for why he's as fast as he is. But you asked me questions, you know, what are you doing that's getting him this way? And I think we kind of identified some specific workouts and how we were running them. And especially for a small school that doesn't have a big base of athletes, we don't have anybody to spare. So we have to be fairly conservative in workouts and in training to make sure nobody gets injured. And we found some things that just work in keeping our kids safe and healthy for throughout the season. So, but it was wonderful to have somebody to talk about that with and reflect on that with and see your lens. You came about it from a much more scientific lens. I don't have the facilities to find my runners, right? VLA max, VO2 max, blood lactate right. threshold. I don't get to poke them with needles and yeah, take their right. blood. So, right. The kids were willing to do that and wanting to get better. So taking our athletes in to do that, it's just like it's a relationship that I can provide. I can help them get something that I can't provide for them. And in the end, it's about their success. It's really not about me. They have goals, and my job is to help them reach those and reach their full potential. I definitely encourage athletes, you know, hey, I think this could really help you take to the next level. Or, you know, I'm curious about this. What if we went and had you tested to see what the numbers say about that? So bringing two athletes in now, with our sophomores, they run a lot together. They do very similar mileage, throughout the off season and during the season, but they went their separate ways this winter. One just ran, and was very diligent about getting miles in after school almost every day. The other was on the swim team. So wondering kind of what's going to happen when they come back to track season.
Yep.
And now, you know, they're working towards the same common goals, running distance on the track team, but they've come about it in very different ways. So looking at, yeah, what can they, how are they similar? How are they different? How are their bodies handling these workouts? And, you know, you watch them from the outside and they're running the same thing together, but as we look at the numbers of what's happening scientifically in their bodies are doing totally different things with what they're asking them to do. So that's fascinating.
And they're still getting to the finish line at the same time.
Yes. Right? Yes.
But it's crazy, isn't it?
It's working. But it helps us understand, you know, one of them really likes to push the pace at the beginning of a long run. So to say, there's really no reason if we're running 10 miles, we need to go out that fast. Let's back it off. And Ben, with what you were able to analyze about them, you were able to explain that to them. This is why you were hurting at mile 8. And just to have that explanation, the kids I've brought in are very, I think, cerebral beings. They want to understand how their body works. And at the same time, they can shut off their brain and just go run. But I think it helps them as they reflect on workouts, reflect on their performances, to understand why things happened the way they did, why their body works the way it does, and then be able to adjust that for the next competition, for the next workout, and know how to help themselves get better. And then I know how to help them get better, too.
Well, I think that's the big piece, right? Because I think a lot of times, you know, and you know, we're very athlete-centered in what we share online and all those things, right? And so by nature, that's just how it is, right? We have kids that come in from schools where their coaches don't come in, or other things, and people don't always know who came in, right? They don't know if a coach advised it or a parent advised it or whatever. So there can be a little bit of like, oh man, what are those kids just going? And then what if I have an athlete that goes and they hear something's not working, and then maybe they don't trust what I'm doing as a coach? But you've presented another opportunity that we hopefully can share. And that's why we're doing this podcast to some extent, one, to showcase what you do and how it's really helped your athletes, because they have such different data. You see me sit there, poke the blood and run it through the numbers, and it goes, yep, that's kind of what we thought. Now, how do we adjust for it? But really, the big piece that I have found works really well with you guys is that, and you could speak this a little, the nice part for me is, hey, listen, I don't we've got a lot of athletes that don't need programming. They're in a great system with a great coach and a great opportunity like Madrid has. And there's a lot of those programs around the state. Like I said, we do have some of these other smaller ones where maybe they don't have a distance coach or whatever. And the kid or their parents or even the coaches said, hey, would you contribute and just go ahead and write a plan for them? And we certainly offer that as well. But I would say a great number of our kids really are looking, how can they blend it? And you present a great opportunity, you know, as we share this and come up with creative ways to share this with coaches, is that I didn't have to tell you really any workouts, right? I wasn't like, this is the way with this kid. It simply says different things, right? Like, hey, their VO2 is lower than we would expect based off of this, or their lactate tolerance is this or that, or like someone like Clay had tremendous lactate tolerance. We're like, how is he getting a lot? Well, he's just really tough, you know, or whatever. He could deal with immense amounts of lactate, you know? And then we just, how do we get to the finish line faster? And would you say, I'm not going to put those words exactly in your mouth, but like in terms of that, like when your takeaway was like, oh, okay, I thought maybe I was going to get a list of workouts or things, you know, how am I going to apply this? What did you find, how quickly it was able to be like applicable, or what are some of the things that you would still say, man, Ben and I are working together and I still would like more of this or of that? And maybe in how you would phrase it again, like I said, to some regard, this is in, you know, we're doing some of this podcast in response to people being a little worried, or as coaches concerned, what if my athlete goes and they lose trust in me, you know, or whatever, because this said something. What ways would you say, hey, this is how we did it, this is how we're going to use this connection, and you found it to work while maintaining full relationship? And actually, I don't think I've ever written one workout for any of the athletes you work with. We just adapted right into your program after testing. They went, you took the data and went on. You know, how would you kind of phrase that? And what ways do you think that could continue to improve, or even for other coaches, an initial way that you went about it that maybe could help them go, yeah, I think that might help avoid, if a kid's interested, avoid a trust issue while still getting the, you know, some of the cool data that I think we can offer.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. You've never written a workout plan for any of my athletes, or I mean, not one day, not one week. But we've conversed, you know, if I've had a question, what type of workout might help him do that? You've always given great advice, whether it's, you know, they just need to do more long runs to up VO2 max, or threshold runs. We weren't really doing threshold runs because, again, as a kid, a 7-12 program, our junior high kids really can't handle threshold runs when they start cross country. Right. They only have a 2-mile race. So finding what works to run a K-12 or sorry, it's a 7-12 program.
Yeah.
That was something we were missing, but looking at that, all right, we do have some athletes who need threshold runs, and not that we never did them, but just making that more of a priority and seeing that that would be a benefit. So just getting, I mean, you've given us just more ideas of what we could add in, how we could tweak what we're already doing and make it better. Specifically paces, you know, you crunch the numbers and say, this is the pace they should run at for this type of workout or this type of workout. And we've usually been fairly close to that, just with what we estimate, but it's good at the same time to have reassurance that, oh, that is right, but if we want to achieve a certain goal, we up that pace or we decrease that pace, and it's good for the athletes to hear that explained too, and to just take that time. I think one of the best things for me has been coming in with the athletes
that's
we can just thing, communicate, right? Face to face. Sometimes their parents come, sometimes they don't, and they say, you know, you understand this, you need to know this because you're going to be the one planning their workouts. You know, I want to be there. I want to see my child do this and I want to support them, but I don't understand any of those words. So, I'm not trying to replace the parents any more than I know, Ben, you're trying to replace a coach. It's just everybody working together, because in the end, if the kids are going to trust me, you know, I want to trust them too. And I want them to trust that I want what's best for them. I don't know it all. And I always want to keep growing. Like you said, I've had a lot of successful athletes, and as we, you know, as they graduated and they moved on, and I realized, you know, they're going to other coaches. They're not mine. I had them for a while, but they don't belong to me. They gave so much to our program, and now they're moving on, and I want to continue to see them be successful. And I've got to start with that next group, with our freshmen, our sophomores, our eighth graders, and look what I can do to help get them to all this success that they've seen their teammates have. They want that too, but I can't do that alone. You know, if there's something else out there, whether it's another coach's, where I have to ask coaches for workout ideas and adjust our plans, or whether it's what you offer, you know, I want to try things and find out what's going to help our kids be the best they can be. I think we've got a pretty good formula through the season of what workouts we do, but it always can be tweaked. We can always make it better.
Yeah, I think probably the most fascinating thing that people find out when they come is like it adds up, but you're not always sure what to do next, which is like you think of Clay and Ethan, you know, or whatever. Like you said, you have a limited time. Clay trained all winter because he wasn't in a winter sport. But someone like Ethan's coming off swim. How do you get like what do you you have less time to guess and check? Right. You've got a little less time to sort of go, I think maybe he's probably aerobically fit because of swim, or is he anaerobically fit, you know, or whatever, or is it too high of this or too high of that? And it turns out, again, they're partners who train together, and maybe half the week they should be almost identical. And then there are other components where you're like, ooh, if I do too much of that with him, he won't be able to do what this one's able to do, and he's going to fall off, and the other's going to excel. And you're like, right away, it was pretty obvious, wasn't it? The data popped up. And as you were mentioning too, as a coach that's had success, most of the time it just reinforces what you've seen. But every now and then, as you saw too, you're like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, I get why this is happening. You know, whatever. Now it makes sense. We have this high VO2. We're fighting ourselves a little bit on threshold or VLA max. Like that makes sense. And here's why we train. Cause I think the first time you came in, I said, do you train this way? You know, whatever. Right. And you're like, yeah. And so I was like, and that's usually how it adds up is I can say, okay, it makes sense. All, you know, several of your athletes have tested this way and their numbers show this. So versus another program whose numbers, their, you know, a group of their athletes may show something different, and they can all get to the finish line at the same time. But how do we keep getting them there faster? Some ways are healthier than others. But Kelly, you know, we talked very briefly about as we go forward, and this is something we're hoping to offer now with our program and put that out there more, the ability to utilize it more with like you do a summer camp or things like that. Right. And I think for you, it's like, oh man, if I could get four or five data pieces once a season, right? Once every 6 months and just go, okay, good. This, I thought that's where we were. I felt like that's where we were. Plus some kids have fun with it and different things. You seem pretty excited about that. Where do you see it kind of going with this partnership with us? Because again, like I said, most people see us partnering and they assume it's partnering with kids. You know, and sometimes that is the case with a family and with kids. And other times, though, it is really partnering with a school, whether the school's paying or the kids are paying, you're really the client more so than the kid. Where do you see that kind of going over the next, you know, couple of years? You know, like I said, we're being malleable and want to work with you guys in that, too, because it's been a lot of fun. What do you see the takeaway being?
Yeah, you know, as coaches, we measure things too. We in cross country, we'll have a preseason 5K time trial, and we look at what's your end of season 5K. Our girls just tested out in 10 meter sprints and 30 meter sprints through their winter speed and agility program that our track coaches do. And in a small, you know, I don't coach them. The boys, same boys in track that I brought into you, I passed them off to a track coach. So I've got to trust that he's doing the best he can and know for 12 weeks how they're going to be trained. So then I can adjust summer training for them. And you know, we're looking at numbers and we're all working together on that. So I see it really as a way to see, as you said, that not all my athletes are the same. You know, they train differently. They put in different amounts of miles. And, you know, if we've got someone who's run, and a girl's run 100 miles all summer and a girl's run zero, but we need them to get to the same place at the end of the season, how do we get them there? And how are they different now? And what do we need to adjust for both of them? But then also looking at groups of athletes, we could maybe test one student and realize, you know, they kind of tend to race and practice, train, tolerate the workouts the same way as this other one. That gives us an idea of how not just to train that one athlete, but a group of them. I'm really interested. We've got junior high girls that won the middle school state meet this year, and we think they've got a lot of potential. So I'm really excited to see how they grow over the years. We've got some of them who probably weigh 70 pounds. They're tiny little things, and they're going to grow physically, but they're also going to grow as runners and to help them through just the next couple of years is they've got drive and work ethic and a little bit of talent, I think. So just to keep tabs on them and help them to become the best they can be and keep them motivated, keep them focused. Yeah, I'm really excited for it to see what we can do. And especially seeing, I got to watch you in the lab this week work with a sprinter from another school. We've got some phenomenal sprinters that want to go on and work and run in college too, and being able maybe to expand it beyond just our couple top distance runners who are the ones we've brought in. You know, I want to make sure I can give you top runners everything I can give you, but working with you on a bigger level for our whole team, being able to do that for everybody, because really as a coach, that is my goal, that, you know, the top runner gets attention and so does the last runner. They need totally different things. So to be able to see, and I know that as a person, but to look at the science behind what do our runners really need and how can I give that to them? I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, that's been the fun. And I think, you know, kind of putting a fun little bow on it, I think probably the funnest part of this was I didn't really know you before, right? We didn't know each other really.
No.
And so this isn't really like a, hey, you know, or whatever, hey, this is good. You're the one coach who's my friend that can find a way to help, you know, maybe bridge this gap to coaches, you know, or whatever. But really we didn't, you know, and we competed actually against each other. I remember thinking, man, if only Sean McDermott lived a few miles north, Boone would have been, you know, we'd have totally been untouchable. And you're probably going, if only Chandler and Albert lived a few miles south, you know, or whatever, right? But so we really kind of crossed paths, but didn't really have that. And so probably the most fun part is just the fact that we've been able to become friends, you know a little bit more about what the team's doing, you know, have some excitement around the athletes, getting to hear your perspective on these kids that you coach, right? These big personalities from like a Clay or a Jason, or, you know, some of them have huge personalities. Some you're trying to like inch their way into the room and they're all so different. And yet you just have this rapport with all of them, you know? And so it's, like I said, we've become friends through that. And I think, you know, I hope that's something that can kind of, you know, move forward at this too. It's just an opportunity to see Iowa develop to that higher level. The same way I think you would say Madrid was a, it would be like Iowa would beat a Texas or something, right? Madrid to a Waukee or a Valley or something would be, you know, Iowa to that, you know, whatever. And you were like, hey, we're not going to let, you know, just because we're 1A, we're going to go compete. We're going to go to that level. And, you know, some of the programs, whether it's coaches like you or kids or other coaches we have now helping with our speed labs and other things that have been great partners with us as we've started to grow, it's like, let's put Iowa on the map, you know, whatever. We're getting calls. We go to the MVP Vibe Fest in Chicago with some of the athletes that work with our program here this and some, you know, everybody be like, oh, those are the ones he trains. Actually, there's several going that train 100% with their coaches. And we don't, you know, it's just, what do? You put that on Instagram every time. So-and-so who trains with yada, 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 you know, or whatever. And so sometimes lost in translation is the idea that, you know, or whatever, oh, this, it's an ownership thing. We own this person or credit, you know, those types of things. But the reality is they got invited to this meet, you know, or whatever, by one of the biggest meets in the U.S. You know, Ainsley Erzin's a national champ going to this meet, and she's not the favorite in her main event. How fun is that to have an opportunity to go? And I think what it is, and our kids talk about this all the time, it's the rising tides will carry all ships, right? And they just want to push the sport and can we go faster and faster and faster? And I know that's what you had and continue to have with your boys is like, you know, I remember you talking about that with Clay when he finished as a freshman and he came out, so we're going to win 3 in a row now, you know, whatever. And at first, certain people, it's hard to just say, yeah, we're all in on that. At first, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, we're going to try, you know, whatever. But sometimes, you know, and then his rising tide carried all the ships in that program, right? And so everybody rose with it and followed in your lead. And so that's what I'm kind of looking forward to over the next few years, right, is seeing the opportunity to have, you know, kids from all of these schools, someone like, you know, Ethan or Clay. I'll throw out a name, Landon Benjen. Nobody's heard of Landon Benjen. Landon Benjen is a sophomore at Woodbine. He came to me with, I believe, about 2.5 months ago with parents and everything, came to say, hey, we're looking for a next level thing. He would be more in the category of a kid who came with a parent, you know, or whatever, and they're just kind of looking for something. I think 10:30 something was a PR and maybe 4:50s. Landon ran a month ago at Northwest Missouri State as 3,200, went 9:56,
wow.
Opened up, you know, with that, and then opened up his mile or ran a mile 2 weeks ago in 4:39. How cool is a story like that? A little kid in Little Woodbine you know, whatever, and he's a sophomore, and now all of a sudden, you know this, right? Nobody had heard of Jason Renz. They're not, Clay Peel was not who everyone looked at after his freshman year or eighth grade and went, yeah, we all know. I mean, Kelly, yeah, you got gifted with Clay Peel. This is super easy for you. It's not like that, but that's the blessing. Like watching a kid come from a place where they just didn't know, but if you could create the environment and excitement for it, and that's the type of kid that shows up, right? And then I think you present that other side of it, which is what's the type of coach that's willing to show up? Not everybody has to. You're whatever, right? But as you said, there are probably not a lot of people that are walking around that have blood sticks and data and, you know, and all those things. And not everybody has to believe it. You certainly don't have to. But I think as you've seen in the lab too, it pops up pretty much. It gives very different data, right? I'm not sitting there manipulating anything, right? But it pops up and you go, Ethan's anaerobic energy is going to be through the roof, right? We're going to, Clay Warson's is not going to, you know, or whatever, right? And so, and then sure enough, it shows up like that on the data. And tells us how we can, you know, help them towards those main events. But that's where I see the fun, right? And seeing kids
running,
from that.
Running is a community. And you know, I haven't gotten where I am by myself. My athletes haven't gotten where they've gotten by themselves. Uh-huh. It takes a community and a lot of people caring about them and investing in them. We're starting over. We graduated almost all our kids. And we've got two runners left from that team. We didn't win a meet this year. We've got some building we need to do, but I know I can't do that for the kids alone, and they deserve all the success that they've seen. They're hungry for it. They want it. They want another state title in something, sometime, and I want to help them get there, but I know I can't do that alone. I need their track coaches. I need their swim coaches. I need their parents. You know, I need them especially, and they need each other, but if we can reach out and find partners with that and people who are about the same things, and that's about the kids becoming their best selves through track and field and cross country and learning all the distance running has to offer, it's such a learning curve, and to see kids grow over the course of 6 years is such a joy. Yeah. That's the absolute best part. And I want to help them reach their goals, and it's going to take more than me. So I'm just so thankful that we found what you have to offer and that it's really been a phenomenal supplement to our kids in their confidence and in their training both.
Well, listen, I certainly appreciate it. It hasn't been lost on me, the challenge of, you know, anytime something is new and started and there's, you know, whatever, everybody's a little unsure. And certainly in the sport, we try to protect trust, right? We want, you're there every day and you're trying to build trust and things like that. But everybody that comes into us has a different situation. And I think like you found right away is, hey, if you just step in and you listen, and I listen, right? I was like, what are you doing, right? Mm-hmm. I think probably we both like to chat and talk and have fun and talk about the kids. And we're both by nature very more outgoing. But I think I was like, what are you doing? What are the things that are happening? Because then I could go, okay, that makes sense, you know, or whatever. And here, that's why I see this. And then honestly, then like maybe the next week I was talking with somebody, I'm like, you know, this is a workout that Madrid did, you know, whatever, that kind of, you're the opposite of them. And they actually focus more on this. And I would try it if I were, right? And then we're kind of all passing these things along, and it just, you know, the kids are getting faster and it's a lot of fun. And yet you still had your success, right? And yet, right? That's part of the piece I think that sometimes gets lost in it is you didn't get worse because other athletes around you were getting better, right?
Right. Jason, everybody better.
Right. We had Riley Witt came in and, you know, was in our program and it still is in 1A, and he gave Jason all he wanted in the 1A, you know, whatever. And it rose Jason's game. So, yeah, I mean, obviously with everybody getting better, working together, rise, you know, again, the rising tides. One of our kids in the program said that the other day. They saw some other outstanding runners, two of the best runners in the state up at Sioux City. You know, we've had a few boys break, you know, ran 421 or under in the full mile. So, you know, sub 420 is for the 16 this winter. And two more ran 421. And they were all like, this is great. They're like, this is phenomenal. Rising tides. Here we go. You know, that had only been done like three times before ever indoors in Iowa. And, you know, some people are like, oh, it's too early or too late, whatever. That's, anybody can have their thoughts on that. That doesn't necessarily matter. They know that that's part of it with us. If they don't want to do it, they don't have to do it. Right. And so some of your athletes might, and some of them might not. Right.
But yeah, I just always left it to them. You know, is this something you want to do? Well, no, I want to swim all winter. Okay. Swim all winter.
Rock and roll. Right. Yeah. And so I think, but that's the fun. The rising tides are carrying it. I think we're going to see some of the most outstanding performances, not as a byproduct of if a kid comes to Accelerate, that will make them an outstanding. But I think the byproduct is everyone steps their game up, right? Everybody raises the bar. As you get better in Madrid, the schools in your conference, you guarantee there's one or two other coaches who are like, okay, I want to win too. And then they're stepping their game up and everybody's stepping their game up. And all of a sudden, you know, here we are in Iowa and we're getting calls from Arkansas and Chicago and California. Hey, are there kids in your state who would like to come to our meet? You know, whatever. How cool is that? You know, whatever. They're like, hey, are there other kids even outside of your club that could come to our meet, you know, that are at the elite level? And it started, they're like, oh, this is great. We've never, you know, really seen from the indoor side of it. It usually happens so late, which is fine in April and May, but the doors are starting to open and people seeing it. And it's not, like I said, I'd say half of those kids that are going to these things are getting coached outstanding work by their coaches. Mitzi Evans, I'll give one more example. She's being coached by Merrick Wenzel right now in the offseason. Oh my gosh, she split a 56.3 on the distance medley when we put that little group together. That young lady, she's trained 100% by Merrick Wenzel, you know, or whatever. And so people are like, oh, it's out there. This group's taking credit for this or that. Or we're like, no, I'm like, we can't, we test, but that work being done, I don't think I could have got her to 56.3 if I, you know, being fully honest. I think I was, you know, I provided, hey, here's some blood data. Here's a chance to do this or that. And you want to talk about whether it's a system or not. Look, I have some kids doing a ton of mileage. That young lady, it's like, he realized too, let's back her off to like 4 days a week. You know, whatever. She's just one of those who gets a lot out of a little. And suddenly 56.3 in, you know, indoors in a relay, you know, or whatever in early February. But it's because of somebody else's great, great work. And then them being willing to share an athlete and say, hey, how cool would it be if that group of girls who doesn't have a 400 runner on it could set a national leading mark, you know, if sure, this girl, yeah. And so we asked, hey, would you be willing, you know, we'll give credit to Speed Alliance and your coach. And that's the fun, you know, that's the reality. That's the excitement. That's the energy. That's the, you know, and so, again, I'm grateful to you. We'll kind of put a bow on it. You know, I'm grateful to you. It's been really fun getting to meet you, getting to know your program, getting to know your athletes, you know, all of those other components. I mean, I think that's the fun that's been really, you know, great for me to see as we've gone forward. And like you said, you've got a good young group coming up and it's a lot of girls between Matt Gilbert and Ames. I don't know what was in the water between these last couple of middle school classes, but holy cow, you know, or whatever. There's just these state, everybody's in Ballard, everybody right there in that little 30-mile circumference, I think, or roughly about a 30-mile circumference, I would say. Probably, that'd be about right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere like that is you've got maybe half of the best female runners in the state, it seems like, of all classes. So,
but you're right, that's what we see at meets and in our conference, too, with ACGC and with Earlham who have just come on so strong.
Oh my gosh.
When we see that, it makes everybody better. You know, I hope that my athletes have contributed to that for other teams, but when we see them every meet and that's who we want to beat, we just get better together. It's great.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, well, we appreciate you. I look forward to, you know, doing another one of these down the road when we get to talk more about how it worked, you know, doing more team-based stuff and helping that across the board. And thank you again for being willing to share that, you know, so other coaches that are maybe have been on the fence and unsure of what exactly it entails for an athlete to come in or a coach to come in or whatever. Hopefully they can hear this and maybe there's some ways that can be inviting to them and hopefully check it out if we can be of help. And so it certainly doesn't have to be for everybody, but it's something that I'm glad you found helpful because it makes it fun for both of us to do the work we're doing for these kids. So Kelly, thank you. Anything you got going on here, heading into the start of the season, we're like 3 days out. I know you're not doing track. You're doing the junior high, but is there anything going on like, in the world of those boys and girls there in Madrid that you're like, oh my gosh, these kids are just too anxious to start track. Or do you think some of them are like, oh, I could wait another week or two?
You know, I think we're excited. Our boys are playing basketball tonight. So we'll see how that
ends. There you go.
But yeah. The track teams are the defending state champions and they lost a lot of athletes, but they're returning some serious talent. And also we'll have kids that didn't really get to see much action last year will really get to shine. We're really excited. We've got almost the entire seventh grade girls' grade out for track. So to have big numbers, we haven't had big numbers among the girls in our sports, just in general, for the last couple years. So to have a really active, engaged, interested group of kids that are so young, just, I'm really excited for the future. And as I said, having my own kids, coaching my own kids has been an absolute joy. So yeah. I like getting to play that role of coach and mom at the same time.
There you go.
It can be a precarious balance, but we'll just see right. how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. I'll probably have to call you in a few years. You know, Kelly,
hopefully hey, we're moving I can
to
help
Madrid.
Out. Yeah.
We're moving to Madrid. We need, yeah, I can't take it anymore. Kelly, let's put a bow on it. I'm just going to, you know, thank you here and tell everybody, thank you for tuning in for this podcast. Again, this is Kelly Grothas from Madrid, three consecutive state titles here over the last couple of years, and she's anxious to get back on top with some young groups, and their conference has all the titles, I think, about the last half decade or so, and so part of an amazing program, one of the best in the state, regardless of class and size. So we thank her for coming on, and anybody that's checking out this podcast for the first time, please go ahead and go to our page. You can listen anywhere, Spotify, Apple, it doesn't matter. If you can name it, it's probably on there. That's the beauty of the tech world now. You just hit a button and everything uploads. So, we're appreciative of that. We're looking forward to having some great guests, but this is one of the first times we've had one of the great, one of the many great coaches in Iowa. So thank you, Kelly, for coming on, and hopefully we talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Ben.